All right, Ron, let's go back out to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline, where we find longtime Penguins broadcaster Paul Steigerwald. Hello, Steigy.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing great. Had a chance to talk to Jay Caulfield a little earlier today, breaking down the game from last night and just talking hockey in general. And I asked Jay this question, Steigy. The East Division has been a little crazy so far. The Devils maybe a little better than people thought very early. The Bruins struggling to score goals. How do you size up this division right now and the Penguins' place in it?
Well, I think the Penguins are a team that the other teams look at and think that they're a formidable foe. Like, we tend to, I think in Pittsburgh, we become so immersed in the Penguins' condition that we sometimes accentuate the problems and see the warts or the issues instead of focusing on how the other teams might view the Penguins from the other side. I think the Penguins are a force to be reckoned with. If they get their act together totally, they could be a team that challenges for first place. On the other hand, I see the division as a whole as a bunch of teams that are going to knock each other off on a regular basis. And so there could be, you know, six teams fighting for four spots right up through the whole season. I don't know if anybody's going to run away with the division. The one team that I think seems to have the most consistent level of performance and predictability is the New York Islanders because of the structure they play with. And I look at their center ice position, and I think that they're a team that, you know, on a consistent basis is going to bring it. You know what you're going to get every night from them. And so I think that they're going to be a successful team. So I think they'll challenge for first place in the division. I think the Penguins could conceivably do that. And I also think that because of the nature of the schedule, you're going to see what we've already seen, which is, you know, the Islanders blowing out the Rangers and the Rangers beating the Islanders and the Flyers blowing out the Sabres and the Sabres coming back and losing 2-1 but outplaying them. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of that where teams are winning one night and losing the next. And so there's some unique aspects to this schedule that are sort of unpredictable at this point. I'm looking forward to seeing how they play out.
Paul, we talked a lot about the goaltending situation. Where are the Penguins now? They invested heavily. Obviously, Tristan Jarry is their guy, but it looks like Casey DeSmith has taken over the net a little bit. Do you come back again with him on Friday night against the Rangers?
Well, I think, you know, my feeling is that through history and all the years I've been covering hockey, if you win, you're in. When you have two goalies that are young like the Penguins have right now, and you have Casey DeSmith winning games, you don't take him out. You know, you wait until he loses, and then that gives you the perfect opportunity to bring Tristan Jarry back into the mix. Why tempt fate or why mess around with it with success? You know, so I mean, Tristan Jarry, there's no edict that says he has to be the number one goaltender every single night, you know, in play. He hasn't established himself to that degree, and I think that Casey DeSmith, just in this short period of time, has established himself as a good relief pitcher, somebody who can come in and stop the bleeding. I don't think he's a guy you could rely on to be a number one goalie for an entire season. Tristan Jarry has a pedigree that would suggest that he could be that guy, but I think all goaltenders go through periods of adversity and they have to, you know, have another guy there to pick them up, and that's exactly what Casey DeSmith is. So I think you keep going with him until he doesn't win.
Paul Steigerwald on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. You can follow us on Twitter, 93.7 The Fan. Driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Locations in Wexford, North Huntington, and Uniontown. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. You can text us on the Edgar Steiner & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Steiner & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Steigy, Ron wrote a column, I don't know, about a week ago, on Mike Lang and Mike Emmerich, two legendary broadcasters, both fittingly named Mike. And you worked with Mike Lang for a long time. You know Mike Emmerich very well. Your thoughts on a season opening without both?
Well, unfortunately, you know, old man time is undefeated, you know. And it's too bad because you wish all the legendary figures could live forever. And work forever. So, I mean, Doc left the business when he was still, you know, doing a pretty good job at his job. I think had there not been a pandemic and all these changes in the way he has to do games, I think Doc would probably still be working, to be honest with you. And the same with Mike. I mean, Mike would be working right now if not for the fact that he has health issues that he has to protect himself from. And so he's waiting it out. But, you know, you're talking about two guys who are similar in the sense that they have unique voices. Like, I think the greatest hockey announcers are ones who have distinctive, almost caricature voices. Mike Lang, Doc Emrick, Rick Chinnaret in Buffalo, Pat Foley in Chicago, guys like that. Guys who have distinctive sounds that seem to match up well with the sport. It's a higher, sharper sort of sound to their voice that I think really conveys the feeling of hockey. They're unique in that respect. And, of course, Mike has a whole other level of beauty in the sense that he's an artistic guy who came up with the sayings and, you know, presents the game in a unique way. Doc's thing, I think, was his sense of history, his dramatic feel for the game, and also his voice, you know, and the way he described the game. So two of them are legendary figures, you know, among the greatest play-by-play announcers of any sport in at any time in the history of American broadcasting.
Steige, you've told this story before, I'm sure, but I'd love for you to tell it again because I kind of forget the details, although I guess there's only one major detail. The night that you and Mike Lang were calling a game and a giant television fell on your head.
It was a monitor.
Can you
in
tell
Calgary.
That one?
But the monitor was more like a TV. And in Calgary, they used to put the monitor up on a shelf, you know. It was like this carpeted shelf, and the TV was up there. So you had to look up at the replays, which was kind of annoying because, you know, the ice is down there, and now you're looking up at this replay, and it kind of wasn't really in the best place. But I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden this TV that was on this, like, carpeted shelf just slipped, and it came down, and I didn't know it was coming down. And fortunately, it kind of grazed my head and then went off my shoulder. And Mike Lang never turned. He just kept looking at the ice, calling the game. I know he knew that it fell. But he's just one of those guys that he was not going to give me the benefit of, you know, showing any sort of concern. So then he said,
"Didn't
are
he
you
say
all right, Staggy?
The...
said, are
Didn't
you all right,
on
Staggy?
The air,
like,
TV?
But he never looked at me. Like, he just kept looking at the ice. I said, yeah, I'm all right. You know, like it really was not a big deal, but it could have been. I mean, if it had landed straight on my head, it probably would have knocked me out.
Well, I'm glad you lived to tell about it, Paul. That's a good thing, right?
Man.
That's a
that was just
thing.
One of those. Listen, working with Mike was unbelievable. I mean, it was like, you know, I was always blown away. It wasn't the sayings. It was the description, the feel for the game, and also his comprehensive knowledge of everything that was happening, the rules, the clock, the scoreboard, what was going on around the league. I mean, like, he was a multitasker, you know, and then he called the game just with such awesome style that, you know, I was in awe all the time. And another thing about Mike Lang is, you know, if you listen to his voice, if you close your eyes and listen to Johnny Carson and then listen to Mike Lang, their voices are very similar in the sense that they both have great resonance, depth to their voice, but also a sharpness, like a treble sound, okay? It's like a unique combination of deep and treble, bass and treble. And that's what makes their voices cut through the way they do. So when you hear Mike being interviewed, his voice is really deep, you know, like Johnny Carson's voice. He's just blessed with a fantastic instrument. And boy, does he know how to use it. And, you know, he's a guy who loves music. I think he has a real feel for that. So I was always just blown away by all the nuances of Mike Lang that I noticed. And I feel I'm a really good student of broadcasting. Like, it's one thing, hockey announcing. I might not have been the best at it, but I can tell you what makes guys really good and things that guys need to do to improve. And if they ever ask me to consult, I could give them good suggestions. That's how I view it.
Well, that story you tell about it, that thing falling on your head, it kind of reminded me of when Bob walked, like his chair tipped over in the booth, and they just tried to keep on going like it didn't happen, right? Remember that, Joe? He just tipped over.
Of course.
His chair
well,
tipped
well, as
over.
You guys know, listen, you guys are broadcasters. You know that the show must go on. Like, you're not supposed to be fazed by anything, you know? I remember hearing the story about Pi Trainer. When he used to do those commercials for American Heating, they used to go down and try to, like, tie his shoelaces together while he was doing them, things like that, and torture him while he was doing live commercials.
You know, Paul, Starkey doesn't remember Pie Train. I grew up with studio wrestling. Who can? American. American eating. I remember it like yesterday.
So
Joe,
do I.
You don't know what you missed.
He had that Boston accent, too. It was hilarious.
Well, while we're at it here, Jason Mackey just did a series, practically. It was great stuff on the legendary Bob Prince, the Gunner. You got any good Gunner stories, Steige? I know you loved him, right?
Oh, I idolized him, you know, when I was a kid. We just loved him. I used to go to games and take my transistor radio and then look at him calling the game in the booth at, you know, at Forbes Field at Three River Stadium. But, well, I had the pleasure of going to lunch with him. You know, he took my brother John and I to lunch at the PAA. And so I got a chance to get to know him a little bit after. And then I also worked at KQV Radio in sales, and I, you know, got him to do some commercials for me, and he came in and did them. And I mean, you know, he was just hilarious to be around all the time. And you know, I just thought he was awesome. I hung on every word he said, and I knew that he had issues, you know, later in his career. But I also was there the day that he came back from his surgery on his throat. He had cancer, and he returned, and he held a little press conference at a table on the field at Three River Stadium. And I still have a picture somewhere in a box in my house of all the media gathered around Bob Prince sitting there being interviewed by all the media types, you know, in a scrum, talking about his surgery and everything. And he came back and, you know, did a couple of games and then unfortunately passed away. But I also had the pleasure one night, and Cookie might remember this, Bob Prince and Jim Woods, who was phenomenal, were reunited for a game on USA Network. They called a baseball game, and I stood behind the two of them while they were calling the game. I could barely hear either one of them because they had these deep voices and they never, like, really projected. Like, you could hear Milo Hamilton seven booths away, right, the way he called the game. The Gunner and Jim Woods had that soft delivery, like, conversational with great voices. And I stood behind them, and I had a chance to, after the game, go in the press room and listen to them telling stories about when they were broadcasting games in Pittsburgh and some of the hilarious stories and how they got their nicknames, which I won't share right now. But I'm telling you, he was just a character for the ages and a phenomenal, phenomenal broadcaster.
What a great story to be a part of that, of those two. Just incredible. We've been so lucky in this town, Paul, you know, not just with Lang and Prince, but Cope, you know, and I guess every town has these guys to a degree. I'd match our trio of guys up against anybody.
Absolutely, Cookie. We're really fortunate, and I think those guys sort of set the tone for Pittsburgh that I think a little bit of it's been lost in today's age because how much broadcasting has changed. You know, they don't want people to be stars anymore. They want you to just be a talking head. You know, you can't say anything that might offend somebody now. So you have to be kind of vanilla, almost like a non-entity in terms of personality or, you know, opinion. So, you know, and so you have to just kind of call the game, and, you know, producers control it a lot more than they used to, and they get really nervous if you say anything that might offend three people. So you're not going to have characters like those guys anymore. I don't think you are. I just think that those days are gone. And I think that, but for a long time, we had Bill Burns. You know, it wasn't just our sports guys. We had a lot of characters, Paul Long, guys who did the news, who were different in Pittsburgh, and I think we were really lucky to be able to have them every day.
Steige, hopefully we can do this from time to time. We appreciate your time. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me. See you guys.